Fish Commission realized that everyone needs to partake in that needed resource to survive, a resource that we have sustained for over 10,000 years. I hope that we at the Fish Commission can continue to work in partnership with the federal and state managers and people from all parts of the river to make sure our fish continue to swim on the river to sustain us. Thank you very much.
This message is brought to you by the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission. More information at kuskosalmon.org.
I'm Joanne Kammer from Beth, Alaska. This is KYUK, 640 AM in Beth, Alaska.
And now we begin today's talk line, starring none other than Alyssa Rogers.
Support for talk line is provided by Vitus Terminals, a local crew happy to fuel you. More information at BethelFuel.com.
Talkline is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during Talkline may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
Express yourself.
Yukon Delta and listeners worldwide, welcome to Talkline on KYUK 640 AM. My name is Alyssa Nadine Rogers, and I am your host today. And with me today is Grady.
Hello, 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 up and down the Cusco.
Wonderful, welcome morning this morning we're having. We have Fritz Charles from Bethel. Good morning, Fritz.
Good morning, Alyssa. How are you guys doing today?
Great, welcome. Thank you for calling.
Awesome. Let's take a moment of silence to be the first caller on the show today. thank you. thanks for the call. I'll be pretty quick and bold. I know it's not going to be a good news for everybody out here. We all know that the Department of Fish and Game called a subsistence opener this coming Monday, and it's creating a whole bunch of confusion. We all know that the federal managers took over the fisheries on June 1st without a closing date, due to the fact of, the Kings, of course, and possibly the Chum Run. But, this is, the total blame goes to the Fish and Game office out here in Bethel. I'm pretty sure he's got duties to do, but, it's going to hurt a lot of people, the end users, which is myself and you and whoever's listening that does subsistence. If we do possibly get cited, that's about $500 minimum right there. That's probably 250 citation fine right there. You get your fish taken away and your net taken away, and then to bail out your net, that's probably going to be a couple hundred right there. I wish the state and the federal managers, I'm pretty sure they're listening, wish they could somehow do a compromise. Because, it's everybody's going to be hurting. The end users are going to be hurting. And then from our forefathers, we only take what we need. Nobody's going to go out there and catch 200-300 fish. They're not here yet. And we're not looking for 200-300 fish. Me, personally, I'm looking about 20, maybe 25 fish. Whether it be Kings, Chums, or Reds. I think the Reds are majority right now, if I'm not mistaken. But it all depends on where the person fish sets their net. for drifting is they can direct their fisheries to a certain species. But it's going to hurt everybody at the end. I tried calling the fishing wildlife manager, Boyd, but all I get is a recording, and nobody knows his direct phone number. And so that's another thing, you know, we're trying to get this resolved. I'm not speaking for myself. I'm speaking for the people that gave me a call to say something about it. You know, it's going to be chaos out there. And let this be a warning. You know, I've warned people before, especially the government. You know, it's going to be all out. You know, I try to warn people, you know, don't be doing that. Well, it's up to you, or something in that nature, because we've been... The natives out here in Alaska are the most regulated people in the nation. That's the most powerful statement right there. And it takes so much pressure before people start breaking the law. So we, the people out here, need to start thinking about our future. And, you know, it's pretty much a chaos out here now since yesterday. It's going to be hard to not go fish because the federal managers decide to step back and see how it plays out. No. The federal manager's job is to prevent chaos. And for them to allow fishing is the federal manager's fault creating this chaos. Somebody needs to step up and take control of this fisheries out here. This is uncalled for. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Fritz. We're going to go to an email that we had received. Statement on ADF&G's fishing announcement. Good morning. I regret that the subsistence users along the Kuskokwim River may be confused and uncertain by the ADF&D decision to independently announce a fishing opportunity for Monday, June 28th. I want to remind residents in the area that are still being managed under the delegation from the Federal Subsistence Board by the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge. There continues to be a significant concern over Chinook salmon run this year. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission, and ADF&G all agreed to conservation measures starting on June 1st. The Chinook salmon protections haven't been lifted by the in-season managers. Fishing on the Monday is technically not legal. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service would appreciate it if fishers would remember that alternative methods are still an option. Non-spawning salmon tributaries are still open to fishing 100 yards upstream of the Kuskokwim mainstream. And to remember that we all want to go fishing again, and the opportunity is sure to come. Please have patience and wait to fish when all the science and traditional knowledge of our respected elders indicate the best day to open the Kuskokwim River. And this is coming from Boyd at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge. And we're going to go to our next caller, Yvonne Waska from Bethel. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to hear you.
We're on for the most comments on fishing. I agree with them 100%. What we're witnessing is the biggest mismanagement scheme, state and federal level, that Corral is always talking about. you go fish Monday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., the feds are going to come and give you a ticket. Mismanagement. I didn't get it till this morning when a respected native brother clarified it to me. I didn't get it yesterday on the talk, so I was going to call back again and tell them. Paper prediction, that's all you guys go about. Your predecessor, the late Ray Baxter, Federal Fish and Game, he had a test fishery site, Eek Island. He don't go by paper prediction. He actually set the net out. That's what you guys need to do. Paper prediction and sit down, you know what? I go up, my people's fish racks are empty. They need more fish. Smoked, dried fish. That's what gets us through the long winter months. That sustains us through the long winter months. Our native leaders, you guys need to step up. You guys know what to do. We need to go above these heads and go above their heads and tell them what's going on here. To fed in state fishing game, subsistence is priority. I remember when we used to commercial fish, they used to state and fishing game would be out there. You guys need to do that on subsistence. Like I said, like Fritz said, people are hating. They need more fish. Not rule who's going to rule what. That fish don't got state or fed name on it. And one of my biggest comments on my respected friend, we let fish pass every year, yet their predictions are always the same. They're paper predictions. But we all know, me and my people here on the Yukon, all over Alaska, we subsist. We know the salmon are coming. State and fish and game always restrict us and stop us. If them senators and leaders are listening, we need your help now. That's what we voted you for. You native leaders, step up. And this is not right. I know I seen my people's racks empty. And they need more. They already told you. It's not a time for fighting. In closing, winter's coming. You're stopping us from making that smoked dried fish and putting fish in our freezers. We know there's fish out there. I challenge you to state and fish to go set their fish net and try. It'll outweigh your paper predictions. Good morning. Thank you.
Oyanawaska. We're going to go on to our next caller, Stephen Alexi from Nabaskak. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning, Stephen Alexi, Nabaskak. I'd like to agree with those two callers, especially Ivan Waska, my respected elder. You know, I fished all my life since wooden boats. And my late father used to say, when the big kings have passed, the majority of the first pals of the run have passed. Last opener, I got small kings, two chums and one red. So the smaller fish are coming in, and they'll come in with a big wave, because they're bigger tides both morning and evening. Boyd hasn't been here for a year nearly, and he was already saying that if it has to come to closing chums, they will, you know, which I don't agree. When I want to catch a lot of reds, I go to my sweet spot down there by the beach. If I want to catch a lot of chums, I go to the deeper sections. And if I want food for my dogs, I fish in the middle where she fish are swimming. You know, and I have a sweet spot for those king salmons down there, which me and my wife fished for, you know, nearly how many years since I moved here. And upriver, tide doesn't matter when you're fishing upriver, but down here, I've learned to depend on the tide when the tide's starting to come in. I know fish are coming in, so we have our patience in drifting and drifting and catching one by one. But when the tide hits, in the middle of it, when it wants to quit, fish start hitting hard and we catch our what we need and go back. I'm happy with my 13 fish, but 13 kings, but that's not going to get me and my family of six through the long winter. Plus, we usually share with my father-in-law and my uncle in Quixlic. You know, we give them fish. So, you know, I was kind of happy that the state announced, you know, they have a power struggle with, and I really don't agree with this closing is just for king salmon. The majority of the kings have passed, and you guys call all the elders you need to. They'll say the same thing that I told you guys. The big kings have passed. They're probably hitting those small tributaries where they go spawn and get their salmon babies. But the forest piles probably usually run all the way towards Nikolai and the Takotna Rivers, the headwaters of the Kuskokwim. And it's usually about this time of the year where we start twining and clawing. And I try to, during the winter before all this sets in, being proactive. You know, I feel sorry for the Yukon people because, you know, they're not going to be able to fish. And the outlook for, you know, them is very grim for even fall chum. So they've been struggling longer than we have. We've only been struggling for maybe half that, what they struggled. And they've only had two good runs for in the last 20 years or so. So the native people of the Kuskokwim need to start being proactive instead of reactive. We always react to news like this when they happen. I need more fish to last us to the rest of the winter. I usually freeze about 10 bags of fresh salmon and then can about 3 cases of red salmon. And the rest are dried. So, and that gets us through the most toughest part of the years when we don't have money. We can't buy snacks for the kids. That's what we snack on and get by. I hope more people call and request immediate opening for the rest of the river. Good morning. Bye.
Hey, good morning. Thank you, Steve. We have our lines are currently open, and our email is currently open.
Great. Those numbers are 543-5985, 543-2756. Or 1-800-995-8954.
All right. Some great topics this morning talking about fish and what's been going on between ADF&G and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Maybe we could hear from them. If you guys want to give us a call, the phone numbers are
543-5985. That's 543-KYUK. 543-2756 or 1-800-995-8954.
Wonderful. Maybe we could hear from some folks that are fishing out on the Yukon River and hear what's going on out there. My heart goes out to you all up on the Yukon. Because we have...
We have Tim from Bethel.
Oh, great.
No, dog. You motherfucker.
Ooh, maybe we can have him call back. This would be dropped his call. And
actually, I dropped that on purpose. Oh. I heard a swear word.
Oh, thank you, Grady. Well, some other topics that you can call in. This line is all for you, and we want to hear from you and what your opinions are and what's going on out there in the world. Some other topics we can talk about is AVAC is going to have an annual community meeting that will be taking place at the Cultural Center on June 29th at 6 p.m. They do need 50 members to show up for a quorum. There's going to be door prizes, and also anyone who does show up, you get a discount on your next bill. Another topic would be that ONC is currently searching for interested elders or those known by community to have a great knowledge and wisdom about climate change, the environment, and cultural lifestyle. A stipend will be provided for elders who participate. You can contact Ms. Black at ONC at 907-543-2608 or 545-2005. I apologize. Again, the phone number is 907-545-2005. Or you can call Mary Mathias at 907-543-0516.
So it's Friday, and the thing that we are excited about at the station anyway each Friday these last few has been the In Your Ears in 50 Years podcast that comes out. If you look at that promo sheet, I would love you to tell people about that. Gabby Salgado, originally was our wellness coordinator here as the JV, and now she's in our multimedia department as our archivist. And this is her first, like, full on production, that podcast. Go ahead and...
Oh, that's great. So, In Your Ears for 50 Years upcoming. KYUK Television began broadcasting in 1972, and local live news at TV became a KYUK staple. Tune into In Your Ears for 50 Years this Friday at 1 p.m. as we dive into the history of KYUK's life news on television. You can join our host, Gabby Salgado, as she catches up with KYUK TV veterans, including Rhonda McBride, Rich Trotto, Adolph Lewis, and Elena Miller Olren. Oh, that's going to be so exciting. I just got the chills because I remember coming here when I was a little girl and watching those TV shows with my dad. So, yeah, that's really exciting.
And the other exciting thing is if you don't catch that at 1 and then the replay, it's also available everywhere you get podcasts. So if you're a podcaster, if you're a person who grabs podcasts on iTunes or on Spotify, you can find that there as well. Hey, there's an email. Do you want to read it or do you want me to?
Go ahead.
Well, it's from... make sure it's not anonymous real quick. Gloria Simeon writes, I am tribal citizen of ONC Tribal Council and born and raised member of my village. I fear for my people. Long ago, I felt deeply that they are going to starve us out or freeze us out. The starving has begun. Commercial interests and anti-rural, anti-tribal nation state have brought the first people of this land to face the very real threat of starvation. There are 56 tribal nations with inherent sovereign power over our land, water, and resources. Inherent means we don't have to ask permission if it is right. United we stand, divided we fall. It is time to raise ourselves up for the survival of our people. Koyana.
Much powerful words from Gloria. Thank you for sending us the email. Well, our lines are open. It is Talk Line. It is Friday. And we are willing and waiting to hear from you. Go ahead and give us a call at
543-5985. That's 543-KYUK. 543-2756 or 1-800-995-8954. And a brief word, you know, if you call one of those numbers and it rings and rings, there's a chance that there's a caller on that line as well. So if you don't get picked up, do try the other number.
All right, and we're still waiting to hear from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge to see if anyone wants to call in and give us a little bit more detailed information about what's going to come about the opener on Monday. And we have our next caller, Edward from Utmao. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
How's everybody?
Doing pretty good. I got my kids here today.
Rihanna, since I was born, I'm from up tundra. Every year when I was little boy, like you got kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
We used to go fish camp. There was no law for fishing. We got certain amount of fish and we quit. And we come home after we're done. Today, look, hey, everybody who's listening, clear your brain. Think nothing. Go, look at all the species, fishes. Look at them. King, red, chum, black fish, pike, all the species. Look at them. Look, every year, people, us, we tend to fight for fish, to fish or not. Blah, blah, blah. Somebody's always controlling us. Then, when, look at them. They're playing politicians. Democratic, Republican, right? In Washington, in the corporation. They don't get to camp. Make decisions, right decisions, because they're different than Kuskokwim. Federal, state, federal governments, look at them. Look at them. Make lots of noise. Fish every year. Then look at the pike. We don't say nothing about the pike. Look at them. Every year, all these villages, fall time we gather pike. Winter time we go subsistence pike and we catch lots. Springtime we go pike and fishing, we catch lots. Look, they are gifts from the provider up there. Look, see? You see what I'm talking? Stop, think, look at them all them species. We don't say nothing about the pikes. We always catch them. They don't decline. They keep going up. You see? We always tend to talk about the salmon species, all them, every year. How they know? Even they count up there. It don't correct number. It doesn't. Like we know, since we were born and raised, our elders taught us the first species, kings, when they come in, they're on the bottom, way on the bottom, where it's really cold and big ones. They used to say, they say that the first bunch comes in, way on the bottom, where it's cold, to go way up there where they spawn. The second one comes in, mix. That's what we were taught. We need fish. We need one government to run the Kuskokwim or us tribes run it or whatever. Like I said, there's two governments trying to control us. Us. Two governments. State and federal. They're trying to have power to control us. You see? Hello? People? You hear me? We're being controlled. We're going to lose all our, what we learned, that one we need to pass to our kids, our culture. Important. Hello? Like I said, this morning we used to go fish camp. Today we don't. I hardly see fish camp people in Kuskokwim because we're being controlled over the fish. Wake up, people. Control the right kutuwaom. State akunayagluni. Fetulakayagluni. Umuyoshut kstiganat. He wants more power, and this one wants more power to control his people. Wake up! My, it's elders say, What you don't hear will come. What you don't see, you will see. Today, we hear what we don't hear. We see what we don't see. We also, and I always say, hey, elders used to say, you will see what you don't see today. You will hear what you don't hear today.
Mm-hmm.
It's here today. So wake up. We're being controlled. We, the people, we get together, we have power. More power than governments. We got power. We the 56 villagers, are we separate apart? That's why we can't. We also still
do. Okay.
Because we're two separate apart. Okay, good morning.
All right, good morning. We're going to go to our break and get refreshed up on our coffee really quick. You want to give those numbers, Grady?
Yeah, 543-5985, 543-2756, or 1-800-995 gets you, 1-800-995-8954 gets you in the door on Talkline. If you're on hold, this is a short break. We'll be right back with you, and Talkline resumes after these brief messages.
Growing up at fish camp is just awesome. Staying up as late as you can with the midnight sun. It's not your usual way of life. At fish camp, wilderness is all around you. It is a neat experience that a lot of people don't get to have. I want the next generation of kids to have the same fun we did. The older men would go out at 5 a.m. and they'd come back with a whole bunch of fish by the time we woke up. And everyone gathered around the cutting board. I love watching my mom and my auntie process the fish. Just observing and learning has a huge effect on kids that are growing up. I hope that this season people think about enjoying time with their family and the peace and quiet of the river, watching the corks bob up and down, waiting for fish to hit. I also hope they think about their children sharing the same experience in the future. This message is brought to you by the Kuskokwim River in a Tribal Fish Commission. More information at kuskosalmon.org.
Niwan klag mi apatam kingani, yuchtstun kasatun lu. Kayagaukina apudung kovut anguyachtim kangristainen tribat lupistaitnen. Stammerit mi one klag mi, huani kiwayuki 6:40 a.m.
Wilms Wednesday mi kalachtlachtut yutum maitnen umiugaitnen lu ika yut mulrenk, charitlu jalrunani yutlchgamk. Bingairit ni 10 a.m. mami. Huani KYUK 6:40 a.m.
Want to go for a swim? The YK Fitness Center swimming pool is open on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday from 5:30 a.m. to noon and 1:30 to 8:30 p.m. COVID-19 safety policies are in place and youth under the age of 16 must be accompanied by an adult unless they meet exemption criteria. You can visit ykfitness.org or call 543-0390 for details or to make a swim zone reservation. Reservations are not required but recommended. This message is sponsored by the YK Fitness Center.
Chilistra Corporation's 2021 annual meeting will be held electronically. The meeting will be 1 p.m. on July 1st at chilistavote.com. Your voting pin will be needed to access the meeting at 1 p.m. on July 1st at chilistavote.com. Save your pin for chilistavote.com. This message sponsored by Chilistra Corporation.
And good morning, Yukon Delta. We are back on Talkline Friday, KYUK, 6:40 a.m. And we're going to go on to our next caller, Nikki from Bethel. Welcome to Talkline.
Hey, thank you. Good morning. Excuse me. So I wanted to just let the listening audience know that Bethel Family Clinic, in collaboration with the City of Bethel, is offering Pfizer vaccines at $100 gift card when you get your shot. Anybody could walk into the Bethel Family Clinic, or you can make an appointment. Our number is 543-3773, anytime Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Also, we will be at the Saturday market on July 17th and August 21st between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And then also, just in general, I want to let, you know, the audience know that Bethel Family Clinic offers medical, dental, and behavioral health services, and that we accept Medicaid, Medicare, and third-party insurance. Thank you so very much, and have a wonderful day.
All right. Thank you, Nikki. Can you give me those numbers one more time?
Sure. The phone number is 543-3773.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks. Have a wonderful day.
You too. We're going to go ahead and go on to our next caller, Anand from Shafornak.
Hello.
Hi, good morning. Welcome to Talkline.
Yeah, good morning. My concern is not those fishing games, but my concern are those trawlers down there by the Bering Sea. It's affecting those fishes. Not if those entities are listening, like tribal and ERA, they could fight those trawlers down there. Are trawling those fish and they catch any species. The only they catch is cod, and they throw all those other species like king salmon, red salmon, chum salmon, even the seals, the halibut. They throw all out those, but only take the codfish. And if those entities are listening right now, they could make those fight those trawlers down there. It's not affecting the fishing games in Bethel. Those trawlers are affecting those fishes that are supposed to spawn in the Bethel. And if they do something about it, you know, I think they'll stop. And I know that governor appoint those trawlers down there, and I don't know which governor did that with those 7 boards and 2 cops on the board. And I was told by sometimes they use monitors or those trawling down there, and it's not affecting those, you know, those fishing games in Bethel, but it's affecting those trawlers down there in Bering Sea. That's going migrating to those Kuskokwim and Yukon. I think they should try to do something about it. Those trawlers, maybe write to the our representative and tell them and roll down those and senators. They might help, you know. And they'll stop. They could stop them. That's all I have to say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really affecting those things. Only those affecting are those trawlers down there, not those guys. They have to do something about those trawlers, really, and I hope they really do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Yep, go on the call.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Yep, bye.
Okay. All right, we're going to go to the next caller, Billy from Bethel. Welcome to Talkline.
I think I might have lost Billy. Let's go to Tom.
All right, Tom from Chalista. Welcome to Talkline.
Hello, good morning. Good to hear your voice again.
Good morning, you too.
Well, great to hear you. I just wanted to comment real quick that Chalista has spoken out about trawler bycatch for many times over the years, so we absolutely agree on that. Well, something needs to be done. But what I wanted to call about is something very important for Chalista shareholders who are voters. The final day to vote is this Monday by 5 p.m. Your votes have to reach the Inspector of Elections by Monday at 5 p.m. We are not at quorum yet, so shareholders need to get out there and vote so that your votes count and only your votes elect directors. plus two shareholders have won $10,000 so far. One in Kasigluk and one in Quigg. But all those proxy winners will not get those proxy prizes until quorum is established. So that means every shareholder out there, if you have not voted, please vote today. It's really easy to do at chalistavote.com. Most voters finish in less than 3 minutes, and many actually finish in less than 2 minutes. So if you lost your PIN to vote online, call the Inspector of Elections, 677-3320. That's 677-3320. That phone number is also at chalistavote.com. So please, shareholders, get out there and vote. Encourage your ilooks and ilungs to vote so we can get to that quorum. It's only your vote that elect directors, so please vote. And that's it.
All right. Thanks so much, Tom. All right. We'll see you later. All right. We're going to go to our next caller from Tuluksak. Welcome to Talkline.
Kuyana, my name is Kayak Shuk. Management of Custo River Kings is not clear. After state governors made a positive statement of state control over navigable waters, referring to the 2009 U.S. Supreme Court decision in Sargent, the Sargent case is, it undermined the Kazakhstan decision. The Sargent case asserted the state's right to manage travel on the navigable rivers. And it was supported by Alaska's congressional delegation. The decision includes words and methods that supports federal authority over subsistence management in waters that pass through the federal lands. That's why we are in this chaos. Please study the 2019 U.S. Supreme Court decision in Sargent. It's really against Alaska Native villagers' way of life and self-determination. Guyana, for taking my call.
We're going to go into our next caller, Robert Hoffman from Bethel. Welcome to Talkline.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, you know, I've been listening to the talk show, and we have issues fish, and then we have Calista. Okay. Well, first of all, I know this. I asked at one time, how come they boss us around our villages all the time, the federal government? And they told me like this, hey there, little man, you listen here. We, the federal government, bought Alaska. We paid for it. And the villagers just happened to live on their land when we bought Alaska. That's probably why they want to be boss. Yeah, I think so. And since they did that, the federal government, I believe, was at that time in charge of the Fish and Wildlife and passed the conservation down to the state of Alaska. And that's why we have state game wardens out there giving us tickets and all that. But I was told yesterday, last night, about an individual. He called the Federal Fish and Wildlife, and he told him, apparently he had told the individual that they're not going to bother the fishermen. I hope that's true. I hope that's true because of, you know, the lack of fish people got for their racks and for the winter. I just hope that's true. And I hope if them guys are listening, I know they're listening, but I wish they had the strength to call in and give us the truth about whether it's okay to fish or not okay to fish. And if it's not okay, they're going to cite us. Or we can fish and they leave us alone, like the individual had replied to me that he called the fishing, the federal Fish and Wildlife, that they're not going to bother us. But it's hard to believe because I haven't heard any feedback from them. I know they're on the radio, but they don't have enough strength to call, I guess. They're kind of, I don't know. They got jobs, you know. And another thing, I heard somebody from Calista reply to the people that your votes elect directors. You know, I was on Calista for quite a while. I was on the board for quite a while. You know, and as long as Calista has the privilege of casting votes, Calista Corporation, as long as they have the privilege of casting votes, the people's votes, I do not believe will elect directors. I have witnessed this in my past, but that's the vote of the board to do it in that fashion. So, and who we elect are so small, they don't have enough votes to make it go through. Like all boards, you know, you make a motion and you vote, and the winner wins and the loser loses. That's the way it's done all over the country. But, I didn't quite believe what Tom said. Your votes will elect directors. No, I don't think so. The final outcome is that Calista Corporation has the privilege of casting votes also. So, I just wanted to clarify that one there. And, that's what all happened. You know, I just hope we get to fish, you know. And the federal government did reply to that individual that they're going to leave us alone. But I'm not, we are not positive that they will leave us alone. That's why I wish they could call and let us know if they're going to let us fish or not and not bother us. Mm-hmm. Or they don't need to turn the radio on, or they don't need to buy a radio. I know they're listening. Okay, thank you.
All right, well, thanks, Robert. Yep, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, if you could give us a call and let us know if law enforcement's going to be on the river or not, we'd greatly appreciate it, especially from a subsistence fisherwoman. Well, there's lots of people calling and asking if how that's going to be looking like for the opener. All right, we're going to go to Mr. Camera from Aniak. Welcome to Talkline.
Yes, good morning. Mr. Camera. I'm at a fish camp. It's about 15 miles below Aniak. And what I'm calling about is regarding a barge. What's been doing airport projects, I understand they need to make money, and they use the barges to haul their pavement and equipment. However, my peeve is they should slow down when they're on fish camp. They make such a huge wake, 3.5-4 foot waves, that it's destroying my raft that I work on. And I talked to a Bering Sea manager yesterday, and he said, more your raft, better. You know, I'm moored as best as I could. I'm tied upriver, downriver. I got logs holding my raft and pushing into the beach. And when these barges go by, it's huge waves. And I don't know if I lost you guys. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. We're listening.
Okay. And so I spoke with Jack Burns, and he goes, I understand the river is navigable waters. However, they can slow down. He tried to tell me he's been on business for 45 years in the barge business. Now, I barged 2.5 years, and he told me there's no way you can move upstream or control your vessel at one knot or 0.9 knots. And being a past river pilot, I've gone up river slow as with such a huge load, 0.7 knots, 0.5 knots, sometimes slow as 0.2 knots, but you're moving. So for the Rampart and Arctic Gull, I hope they slow down around here. Crowley came by yesterday. They have huge wake. But I stopped, went, drove out there and asked them kindly to slow down. And the guy says they didn't realize how bad the wake was, even though they're in there all the time. So at least he was very courteous enough to slow down and, like, without adding more destruction to our raft and stuff. So that's my one big peeve. And Jack Burns' guy only says, oh, they got big lawyers. They can take care of anything. And I said, that doesn't bother me any. I'm more interested in if you guys would work with the fishermen along the river, slow down a little while. It don't take but 10 minutes to pass my camp when you slow down, and creates a lot less huge waves or wake. And the ladies in the office who I spoke to, the companies, Linden, Bering Sea, Knick, they went down. Sound like they own all those companies. But the ladies were like, we're really environmental friendly. We slow down, blah, blah, blah. The ladies are great, compassionate. But the director was sure pretty aggressive and rebuffed me and wouldn't even want to hear my side all the way, try to talk over me. So I contacted them, got a hold of them. Thank God for Google and Internet and Fish Camp. I was able to get a hold of all those things and get a hold of those people and finally get a call back and had my little row with them. But hopefully they slow down in the future. It's hard. There's hardly any logs, so I had to go almost 100 miles upriver just for my raft logs. But point being, barge traffic, slow down around fish camps, especially when there's people working on the edge.
Yep, I totally agree with you, because I was doing barging with my grandpa over on the Yukon since I was 13 years old. So, yeah, I totally agree. They can slow down. If they want to slow down, they can slow down, and they have definite methods and ways.
Yeah, I let me see. Rampart, I missed them going up. I didn't appreciate those big waves. But coming down, even they're going downstream, they still make big waves. So I went up there, asked them to slow down, but then on the return trip yesterday morning, I was asleep, but I said I got up and went outside and waved at them to slow down, but they didn't even bother slowing down just because nobody come out and asked them to.
Yeah.
It's destructive to private property what you need to put your fish up. All right, that's my peeve. I really appreciate it.
All right, well, thanks for calling in. One little suggestion that was kind of brought in jokingly was that maybe if you put a rope across the river.
I don't think that'll do much good.
All right, well, thanks for calling.
Good humor. Yep, yeah. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. All right, we're going to go to Teresa from Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Alyssa. Good morning. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you. Welcome to Talkline.
Thanks so much. Yeah, I've been listening since the beginning of the show, and I've just heard a lot of fish talk, so I wanted to jump in here and speak a little bit from the Intertribal Fish Commission. And I just want everyone to know that the Intertribal Fish Commission does want to fish again. We want people to be out on the river. And we know that we only take what we need here on the Kuskokwim. That's not our question right now. Our question is just if we have enough fish in the river to meet all of our needs from the mouth of the Kuskokwim all the way up to the headwaters. So when we're looking at fishing opportunities, we look at both in-season information from Bethel Test Fish, from different harvest opportunities, and we also consider traditional knowledge. And all of this information is making us think that the king salmon run is coming in slow or late or poor or some mix of these. And this is also happening up on the Yukon and down on the Nooshigak. The Chinook are not showing up, and our chum salmon are also not showing up like they should be. So we're concerned about both the kings and the chums because we know that we need both species. And also to address the caller from Chafornik who brought up trawl fishing, we do believe that these poor returns are caused in part by trawl fishing in the Bering Sea. So we're tracking those numbers. We're showing up and testifying with the North Pacific Fishery Management Council. We're starting to get involved in that process so that, you know, we can try to have some more regulations out in the sea because we know that's affecting our salmon in river too. But this past week, the Fish Commission has been having a lot of really tough conversations with Fish and Wildlife Service about when we think we can open up fishing again. We've got four in-season managers with the Fish Commission, and at our last meeting, some of them wanted to fish on Monday, but everyone agreed that we really want to wait for more information about what the king and the chum salmon are doing before we can announce another opportunity. And I know that Boyd sent in an email, Boyd Blahovdi from the refuge, he sent in an email to Talkline this morning that you read, Alyssa. And as he said yesterday on Fish Talk, the opener from Fishing Game that's scheduled for this Monday is technically illegal because we're still under federal management on the lower river, and we have been since June 1st. But fishers can legally go fishing on non-salmon tributaries or above the Kalskag line, and you can use alternative means and methods like dip nets or rod and reel to catch non-king species. So all of this to say, it's breaking our hearts to know that there are fish in the river and we're not able to fish. That's not how it should be on this river. But we've had low king numbers for the past 10 years, and with what seems like declined chum numbers now, we're worried that our fish won't come back. So we're trying to make sure that our children's grandchildren will be able to fish, and our goal is to rebuild the king salmon run so we don't have to worry about them not having fish on their racks too. So I just want everyone to know that we will be meeting with Fish and Wildlife Service again very, very soon, and we are hoping for another fishing opportunity. And if our in-season managers think it's possible, when they consider the in-season information, when they bring their traditional knowledge, local knowledge to the table, when we consider all of this, we will announce another opportunity as soon as we can if we think it's possible. So thank you for letting me say that piece. This is a very difficult time of the summer, but we are really, really hoping and praying for more fishing this year.
All right. Thanks for calling, Teresa.
Yep. Thanks, Alyssa. Have a good day.
You too. Have a good day. We're going to go to Napakiak. Welcome to Talkline.
I don't know what happened, but I just lost all the calls. I had two calls on hold. Please, Anonymous from Napakiak and Tom from Chalista, do call back. In the meantime, it's time for that break then, I guess.
Yeah. You want to do that? Let's go ahead and go on to our break. Thank you for listening to Talkline on KYUK 640 AM in Bethel, Alaska.
You can call in during the break, 543-5985, 543-2756, or 1-800-995-8954.
Talkline is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during Talkline may or may not be factually true.
Scholars are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
Kayagaukina apudang covet anguyaktim kangistain and tribat lupistaitin. Stammerit me 1 o'clock me 20 KYUK 6:40 AM.
Did you know Family Victim Services at ONC can provide direct services to children and families in need, shelter and transitional housing, crisis intervention, and more? If you need help and you're looking for answers, please know you're not alone. ONC's Family Victims Services is here for you. All you have to do is call 543-2608. This message sponsored by ONC's Family Victims Services. Donlin Goldak, Chalista Corporation, Akshoyochtutkin Gunk Emiris Kluki Subsistence Community Advisory Committee Ganung. Una committee kapchtoreh kaloni, nasnurist naritnik bicharia reitnik klu, yut nrang nak saram klu, danlin gold minek, urin kluki nauti masch gakun, nasnurit nak shredwi dautwani, letstalkdanlin.com, una pionarifkara danlin gold.
My name is Avery Hoffman, and I am from Bethel. I feel honored to be one of the first youth on the Executive Council of the Kuskokwim River Inner Tribal Fish Commission, and more importantly, to have been approached by Robert Lacander and being appointed by the ONC Council to take his place there. The Fish Commission has to make hard decisions in order to protect Chinook. As Fish Commissioners, we bring the interest of our residents to fisheries management and work to make sure the resource survives. We know that if we harvest like we did in the past, the resource may not survive. So we have to find a balance of fishing and conserving and hope that people will understand. I'm happy to be a part of an organization that involves local community input throughout the season. We do our best to ensure that the salmon return for generations so our children and grandchildren may be able to use this key resource to survive. I hope that I can serve as a leader for my generation to get involved in the survival of our salmon and our culture. This message is brought to you by the Kuskokwim River Inner Tribal Fish Commission. More information at kuskosalmon.org.
And good morning, Yukon Delta. We are back to Talkline on 640 AM KYUK in Bethel, Alaska. We have a full lineup of callers who called, so we're going to go to our first caller in Napakiak. Welcome to
yes.
Talkline.
Hello, hello.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Yes, I got called 2 days ago about Johnson River lines on the mouth where they do set netting and drifting. And one of the set netters was told by wildlife troopers to move his net, and that wildlife trooper checked on his GPS and said that the line is wrong. And it's been a couple years that the line has been in the east and west of the mouth of Johnson. Why is this going on without permission of the fishermen upriver? Tundra people use that place to, you know, go fishing, and they're trying to catch fish. I got called from Bethel, and they gave my number, and nobody called me yet up to this day. It's been 2 days. This elder of Napakiak that's been calling me if that line has been fixed. I don't think it's been fixed yet. I don't know how that line got moved without, you know, permission of the subsistence users, and it's in the wrong place. I told one of the one that called me yesterday from Bethel, I told him it's in the wrong place, that if they fix it today, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much for calling. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, would you be able to give us a call and give us an update on that line down there in the Johnson? All right, we're going to go to our next caller, Tom from Chelista. Welcome back to Talkline.
Hello, I'm like a mosquito. I just keep coming back. No, I'm calling back because I heard a comment from somebody about Chelista shareholder, Chelista votes. So I wanted to clarify that Chelista board and Chelista does not use any votes at all. If there are any extra votes, they are split up among every single candidate as equally as possible. So there's no more putting votes to specific directors. It is only the shareholders that decide who they vote for. So I just wanted to clarify that.
All right. Thanks so much, Tom.
Go vote, ChelistaVote.com.
Priyana. All right. Bye. All right. We're going to go to our next caller, John Nick from Bethel. Welcome to Talkline.
Morning, everyone. I'm a little late, like the guy who answered the phone. We're really busy. We've been working on our steam and busy every day. Kind of slipped in. Last week I was hearing talk about the steamboat flu, the barges that are sunk in there.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed like every year we call about that. I was wondering, don't they post warning signs at the mouth and the end of steamboat flu so that people can know when they're going in there, they got to be cautious because all them sunken barges. I've been talking about this for a long time, yet I haven't been on the river for a while, but I was wondering if they put any warning signs cautioning boaters when they enter that they should enter at their own risk. That's not a good remark to say either, but they should have a buoys, they're warning people, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So at the entrance and at the end of the entrance also. Because at nighttime, I'm sure people will go boating by there, and they need to mark them boats with reflective buoys so they'll know where they're at instead of people second-guessing at nighttime or during the peak hours of daylight.
Mm-hmm.
That's really dangerous. What are they waiting for? Somebody to drown or die or something like that and then put it on there? It seems like they all do that. They wait till the last minute till a tragic incident happens. Then they go about doing what we were saying they should be done a long time ago to prevent this. I don't understand that, you know. Why don't they buoy or mark it off and tell them you're going in your own risk and mark them damn buoys with reflective tapes and stuff so that they can see them. It's dangerous the way it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And as for the fishing, all I can say is you need to have a veteran fisherman go with these people that go do surveys in the river and show them the proper way to fish in the proper areas. That way you have a more accurate count. I'd think you would, instead of second-guessing, you know. And let people do their livelihood, but make sure you also follow the regulations, too. You know what I mean? You abide by everything. So, anyway, that's all I had to say this morning. I wanted to tell everyone hi and good morning. Sorry about the little late interest, but I'm here. Hello.
Hi, well, thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome, ma'am. You have a good day there.
All right, we'll talk to you later. All right, we have an email. It's a very lengthy email.
Let's do the email after the callers.
Yeah, I was hoping maybe she could just call in. We're going to go ahead and go to Billy from Bethel. Welcome to Talkline.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Billy.
Yeah, let's all work together and hope for a best winter yet. All right. Good morning. Bye-bye.
Good morning to you. Thanks for calling, Billy. We're going to go into Noah from Tuluksac.
Good morning. Hello?
Hi. Good morning. Welcome to Talkline.
All right. Am I on there?
Yes, you are.
Thank you for having me.
It's Thanks for calling.
Yes, let's kind of scope out on what the fishing game and fish and wildlife uses to detect fish. The first question is, where do they attack them? And put another item in the fish that can detect it by the satellite. They're not slow run. When the waves or the wind comes from the south with a force, and the waves will push out the fish faster than fighting the current itself. Local people from here went up to the open area where it's 24/7. Fish up there and came down and mentioned real big size kings up there. Lots of them. So information might be coming in. Mm-hmm. Wrong. Use those technology in a fashion that will help people not suffer like this. We all abide by what they regulate us, such as using 150 feet in different areas. In some areas, they're freely using 300 feet. Comparing those two, which is odd and which is even, and you have an answer. And one of the points where I lift up, I know who did the analyzing on the fish. It's not the heat. It might be something else in the meat that can deter what really causes the fish to die and not reach the spawning area. The heat one of the years was so great that might be not be the scope. So the request is, if they analyze it and send it and test it somewhere, reveal it to the people, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Not hide it. We want information like that, not hidden, but reported as well. Like that lady reported all the sweet stuff. And we can all understand now, even the fishing game, fishing wildlife, can understand it too, as well.
Yeah.
The main reason that we're having difficulty is focus on the trawlers too, please. Then the assets of what we need might grow. And we can tell the younger generation and tell stories about it, that they're restored for the benefit of their future and the future that has to come that are unborn. Stretch that for, scope that for, and scope in front of you to scope that for. Then make agreement to all people what issues that we fight for resolves and fits all people. Thank you for taking
all right,
my
thanks
call
for calling.
And have a wonderful day.
All right, thanks for calling. We're going to go right into Renee from Bethel. Thank you for calling Talkline.
Hi, good morning. I'm calling because we're still having the swap and shop. Mostly it's a free giveaway today. There are a few items that will still be for sale, but most of the stuff here is free. Come get it. There's lots and lots of goodies. And that's at Cultural Center, and it'll be from noon till 4 today. And we're going to have it extended through tomorrow if there's still stuff on the tables. From 12 to 4 as well. So come see what we've got. Take it home with you. Whatever. And then I also want to mention that we have Shorty Salzburn has cut our steel salmon and raven for this year for the Kuskokwim Art Guild. And we're looking for folks who have an artistic bend that would like to get one of them and decorate it. And then we'll auction them off in October. So if you're interested in that, please give me a call at 543-4538, and I'll talk with you about it. And next Saturday market, so everybody can plan, is going to be July 17th. So that's all I have today.
All right. Thanks so much, Renee. Hey, I'm going to probably swing by there right after I get done on Talkline and come pick up one of those steel salmons from you.
Okay, good. I like that idea. Come with an idea so you can tell me about it.
Yes, ma'am, we'll do.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, thanks for calling. Boyd from Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge, thank you so much for giving us the call. There's so much talk about fish today. What do you have for us?
I know there's so much to talk about, and I've been trying for about 45 minutes to call. I thought y'all were screening my call because I couldn't get through. I hoped that my statement that I emailed would be, you know, sufficient, but I can tell there's still maybe confusion and folks that want an answer from us, but, you know, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service hasn't, I don't want to say we haven't done anything here, but we haven't chosen to make an announcement, for an opener, and the state did. And in my email to you, I said that it's technically not legal. Well, that's what I mean is not legal. It's pretty clear to me that, you know, the way that the federal government and the state government work is that in this case, we have an act of Congress called the ANILCA, just like the Endangered Species Act or the Migratory Bird Treaty Act and any other act of Congress. And, you know, we at the Fish and Wildlife Service, we're just trying to do our job to follow the law that Congress passed and follow ANILCA by consulting with the local tribal governments and, in this case, Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission to make good decisions on the behalf of the people who live here. And I'm in a tough position because I don't have an announcement to make. As I said in my email, it's true that an opener on Monday is technically not legal, but I'm not an attorney. I really hope, as I said, that people will be patient because every day people want to fish, and I would love to fish. There's nothing more that I love than fishing and hunting, but I think that it's really important that we hear the voice of the elders and those that have the traditional knowledge and really know the river and make a wise decision and just not be pressured into a decision. And I can't speak for ADFNG and why this was done, but I don't see the urgency of fishing on Monday and just picking a date without having that broad consensus that we as Fish and Wildlife Service try to get. And it's just a sad state that we're in that this has happened. I can tell you that Fish and Wildlife Service at the very highest level is trying to work this out and work it out whatever means necessary, but I agree with the callers today that it's not right and it's not fair to the people who live here. And I know we're getting a lot of calls about, well, can we go fishing on Monday? And so I think it's fair to say that we're talking a great deal about that at Fish and Wildlife Service. That's all we've been doing. And, we're not working on other things. We're not working on moose or other issues that are out there. We're working on fish, and we're trying to make it right for the people who live here. The conversation has revolved around the technical side of what the state has done or what ADF&G has done, and not punishing the people of the river. There's broad agreement that nobody on the river should be punished for the disagreements between the state and the federal government or the local people, however you want to put that. But I can tell you and promise you that our Facebook page is going to be posting. We're going to have information that's out there on an answer and press releases that are going to come out by today that will give a clear answer. And again, I regret that this is going on right now.
So, Boyd, really quick, then a question. One of the really burning questions that seem to be here on Talkline mostly is, if people do end up going fishing on Monday, is the federal wardens going to be out there issuing tickets?
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to get to, and I will promise that we're going to post clear information and we'll share it with KYUK and we'll get a very clear, definitive answer. And I'm not an attorney and don't want to be an attorney, but I can just tell you that the overall concept of what we've been talking about, and I think everybody would agree with this, is that no one should be penalized on the river for being confused. And it's an issue that's at a higher level that we need to solve, not at the local level. Really, the local level is not the problem, and the people aren't the problem here locally. It's clear that people want to fish, and I want to fish. Well, nobody should be penalized for that. Nobody's done anything wrong here. It's at a higher level that we need to get to the bottom of this problem and solve it. So I know I'm not giving you like a real clear answer, but I just want people to know that it's not our goal to punish or penalize anybody who would be confused or not understand what's going on right now with the, you know, this battle for, you know, announcements and openers and different dates and who's going to do what. We want to be clear that there's a federal closure, and it's technically not legal to fish, but the real issue is, like, between this dual management that we've got, that we've, mm-hmm. When there's maybe not agreement, then one side does one thing and the other side does another thing, and it's just not fair to the local people. But I do hope that folks will understand that the Fish and Wildlife Service, at least, we believe that there is a real conservation concern, and it's a concern for the future of the people mm-hmm. that want a subsistence fish. And we hope that folks will choose not to fish until there's a broad consensus that it's a good idea. And we okay. strongly feel that it's not the right time.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Boyd, and giving us some more, a little bit feedback in detail. All right. We're going to go right into an email. Grady?
So we'll go into an email, and then we'll get to that caller. Just a brief note on emails. When you write an email, we do prioritize callers on Talkline, and your email will get in if we have time. Additionally, when you write your emails, if you choose to write them shorter, it's easier for us to manage the display of your content. This writer writes in anonymously to bring up a concern, not their intention to put anyone down, but it's time to speak up, they say. The writer writes on, I've learned recently that there are major changes at AVCP with the 477 Education, Employment, and Training Program being put under the Tribal Workforce Development Program. This happened without notice to employees, tribes, or recipients of the 477 program. This is a huge impact to students that are going to college and training. The Tribal Workforce Development is functioning with TANF and EET monies. I have been wondering if this is legal and in the best interest of all. It is grounds for a lot of red flags when it comes time for auditing. The author continues to write, I would like AVCP Executive Board to look into this and get answers from all involved, including the employees, without any form of retaliation from any leaders in positions of power. Major changes such as this happen when there are new people in positions of power. There needs to be transparency, and our leaders, including the CEO, should be available and listen to concerns of all tribal members, investigate, be fair, and address the concerns and issues of the people. The lawyers should no longer speak for AVCP or the CEO. Why are the lawyers being allowed to speak for the AVCP CEO, AVCP organization, and make decisions on our behalf? It is a tribal organization that should be solely managed by our native people and not non-native people. Even consultants are getting paid a lot of money, and it's slipping under the rug. There's a lot happening without the knowledge of tribal members, and information is not shared with all. The author finalizes by saying, Native tribal leaders and fellow tribal people, it is time to become empowered and take control over our organizations, and we should be working together to help each other and not put each other down or terminate our fellow Native people just because we don't agree with them. Thank you, Anonymous. I do have a caller on, Nikolai from Taluksak. You're on with Talk Line.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Yes, I'd like to share my thoughts. When I was growing up, you know, we'd come back, we'd go to the spring camp, and then come back right away to the fish camp, and then through the from June all the way through the middle part, someplace around there, we'd start fishing. And then after middle part of June, the king start getting rotten. And I caught a real big king last opener, and it was it was big and rotten, and I was surprised to see how fast they're getting rotten in the middle part of June, not July, where there's a more fish. And I'd like to thank Celista for cooperating with us and communicating with us, and also through the fishing game. I appreciate all that and hope you have a better future and communicate more with the people. And when I was fishing, there was markers down there that were in the wrong spot where there's not fishing area. They should communicate with the people before they put the markers on the rivers where they fish. Okay, I don't have much to say, but I'd like to thank Fishing Game for giving us fish. I was surprised when we got a couple of fish from the Fishing Game, and thank you very much. Have a good day, and enjoy your day.
All right, sounds good. Thank you. All right, we're going to go into our next caller, Howard from Bethel. Welcome to Talkline.
Yes, hello. Some years back when I was a young boy and I was fishing with my dad, the law was written for the subsistence people to use first, and then the commercial fishing came later. That's the way it was written years back. And I don't know what changed. Maybe we got people from the lower 48 that are filling these positions in politics, you know. We need people in this area to vote. We need more natives to start voting and start, you know, campaigning for people that are from this area. We don't need people from that move away from Bethel and then, you know, and then they're representing us. We need people that are here that we can hear and speak to. So please try to remember that the law was written for the subsistence user first and then the commercial people. And that's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Howard. Oh, we got a...
There's an email here. I'll take care of that, and then you can summarize, I'm sure. Here's an anonymous email regarding fishing coming in. We have been regulated for over 10 years here on the Kuskokwim River. Nothing happening with the fish population growing. It's not a Kuskokwim River problem. It's an ocean problem. They need to start paying attention to those big trawlers out in the ocean, sent anonymously from someone's iPhone.
All right, well, thank you so much. For the last couple of minutes here, we're going to go ahead and summarize what's going on in Talkline.
But I'm not going to give you a couple of minutes. Do that in 30 seconds.
Well, we talk a lot about fish and what's going on with State of Alaska, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Cusco Commitment Intertribal Fish Commission. We talked about fishing on Monday and if there's going to be law enforcement out there in the lines between the Johnson and Week.
It sounds like we can be waiting for an announcement from Fish and Game regarding exact verbiage. That's what Boyd said. So we'll be looking for that, of course, on our news later.
And we also had some great callers from all over the place, especially thank you, shout out to Tuluksac for calling in. We had a lot of people calling from there, and Napakiak, Nabuskiak. It's always great to hear from you guys.